Pastor Jim Cobray's church, and God really was breaking my heart because we were standing there as they have almost 1 million people come through their feeding program every year, and just we were standing there as they were doing the feeding program on Thursday morning and just saw thousands and thousands of people lined up to get their groceries and be touched and by the goodness and the love of God. We finished last week with the scripture found in Exodus 33. I love Exodus 33, where Moses said, you know what, Lord, if you don't go with us, if your presence doesn't go with us, we don't want to go. And I believe that's what we have to always keep that in front of us as a church. If the Spirit of the Lord is not with us, we don't want to go. We don't want to be there. But it goes on, because he says to Moses, Moses has a question, and Moses says, Lord, please show me your glory. And this is what he says to Moses. I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. I was thinking about like this whole We Love Dunville thing and what we're trying to accomplish. And really, when I think about it, we're really doing what God did for Moses that day when he asked to see his glory. I believe God wants to show the town of Dunville and this whole surrounding region his glory. And the way he does that is by letting all his goodness pass before them. As we show the goodness of God to the people, as we proclaim his name and make his name famous in front of them, they'll experience the glory and the power of God. And the glory and the power of God changes our lives. So I'm just believing as we do that, that God's going to do something awesome and mighty. Just a couple of announcements. Out there in the foyer at guest services, there's still a sign-up sheet for the dinners for eight. If you haven't signed up yet, we're going to start hunting you down. It's going to be really good. Just, you know what, it's just a time to connect with people that maybe you've never connected with before, building relationships with maybe someone you haven't built relationship with before. In John, it talks in Jesus' final prayer, Lord, that they would be one, Lord, so that the world will know that you sent me. And that's a big important part of us being the church, is getting together, being one, building relationships with each other, staying united, staying in there. So just please sign up as a favor to me. If you don't want to do it for yourself, do it for me. Also, we have Father's Day coming up, and Father's Day is a great day. We're preparing some great things for the dads. It's also a great day for us because we're going to say thanks to our dad, the Father, as we give to his house. And it's our big day once a year where we take up an offering for his house. And it's just want to challenge you to pray and ask God what you could do. We've had some pretty challenging years in the last few years. Really just seeing God's provision throughout that time. Just really believe that this would be a great year to do just a kick it over the top, kind of his house offering, so we could do everything that God wants us to do and not be held back by finances. So if you could just pray and ask God what you could do, then I know God will provide every need we have in the house. So just do that. Everybody promise me you'll do that. And we'll just keep being good stewards of what God's given us and keep trying to reach out and touch a world that needs Jesus. I'm just really just feeling the heart of God for the world around us right now. I just think God wants to do something really good through us and in us. And so I just keep our hearts open to God. Keep our hearts moving toward him. This morning we have Sue Keddy with us. She heads up the We Are Christ Days. She came back. She was a missionary in Hong Kong for how many years? 10? 18 and a half, longer than 10. And God called her back to Ontario to head up these We Are Christ Days. So I'm not going to talk a lot about it, but I just want you to welcome her as she comes and just allow God to speak to you and just make your heart open so you can hear what he's saying to us as a church this morning.
Hi, everybody. It's really nice to be here. I feel so honored, and that was such beautiful worship. You know, lots of people can sing, right? And lots of people can play a guitar, and lots of people can do a drum, but not everybody is a worshiper. And so it's really, really cool when I get to come to a church where there's worshipers. And you guys were worshipers. And even when I came in early for the practice, you know, There was just a spirit of worship. You weren't just rehearsing, but you were worshiping. So you're blessed to have worshipers in this house. And that was a beautiful worship service. There's a passage of scripture in Matthew chapter 22. And a Pharisee comes to Jesus. And he asks Jesus a question. He says, "What is the greatest commandment in the law?" And Jesus answers. Do you know what his answer was? You can say it with me. "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as you love yourself." Yeah. Okay, so then Jesus says to him, "Yep, this is the greatest commandment. In fact, everything hangs on this commandment." Everything hangs on this commandment. Then if you go to the next gospel in Mark chapter 12, I believe, there's another expert of the law who comes to Jesus and asks him, "What's the most important commandment? What's the most important commandment of all the commandments?" And Jesus answers again, "Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength, and with all of your mind, and love your neighbor as you love yourself." And Jesus says, "Yep, this is for sure the most important commandment. There is no other commandment that is important as these two." And then, if you go to the next gospel, in Luke chapter 10, a teacher of the law comes to him and asks him a different question. But he gets the same answer. And the question is, "What must I do to have eternal life? How can I live forever?" And Jesus answers him, "Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, with all of your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself." And he says this little sentence. He says, "Do this and you will live." Can you say that with me? "Do this and you will live." Now, how do many of you here know that there's a difference between living, like existing, I live, and living? Okay, now I want to live, okay? I don't want to exist, I want to live. So Jesus says, if I want to live, I have to love the Lord my God with all my heart, all of it, not just a little bit, but with all my heart, with all of my soul, with all of my strength, and with all of my mind. And I have to love my neighbor as I love myself. And if I do this, I will live. Okay, so the expert, the teacher of the law, he looks at Jesus and he thinks, "All right, I know this command already. I know it really, really well. I have it on my forehead. I have it above my door. And I've known it since I was a little boy. I can recite it backwards and forwards. I know it. But surely, Jesus, you can't mean really what you're saying. Love my neighbor as I love myself. Now, some of my neighbors I can love as I love myself. But you don't mean that neighbor. And honestly, you couldn't mean her or not them." And so to make himself feel better, he turns around and he says, "Jesus, can you just kind of clarify who exactly is my neighbor?" And Jesus tells a story that almost the whole world knows. And I know you know in this room. Jesus says, "Well, you see, there is this man. And he was going down the road from Jerusalem to Jericho. And this road was known as the Death Road because it had lots of mountains and caves and little nooks and crannies. And it was the perfect place for robbers to hide and the perfect place to get robbed. But, you know, there was only one way to get to that place." And so he says this man was on the road and he was walking down this death road, and sure enough, what it was famous for happened. Thieves jumped the guy, they took off his clothes, they beat him to a pulp, and they robbed him, and they left him on the side of the road in a pool of blood, dying. Then Jesus says, a priest walked by. Now, the priest is walking down the road, Jesus says, and the priest sees the man in the pool of blood gasping. He sees him dying. He sees him. And the priest makes a conscious choice to look the other way and to keep walking. He made a choice to do that. Now answer me, did the priest know the commandments? Of course he knew the commandments. He knew the commandments really, really well. He probably taught the commandments. But he made a conscious choice. Oh, and he kept walking. And then Jesus says, a Levite walked by. A Levite. Levites are like really woohoo. A Levite walked by. And the Levite saw the man in the pool of blood, gasping, dying, bleeding, naked. And he too, and he makes a choice and he walks by. Now, did the Levite know the law? Did he know the law? He totally knew the law. Inside and outside, he knew the law. But he made a choice. I don't want to get involved in that. Then Jesus says, a Samaritan goes down that same road. And he sees that man lying in a pool of blood, gasping for his life. And that Samaritan makes a conscious choice to stop. And he gets off his donkey and he walks over and he kneels in that dust on that death road. And I believe it's not like he had like a backpack with all the medical supplies. He was on his way somewhere. So I believe that he probably took off his turban or his big, huge scarf that they would wear in those days. And I believe he just started to rip that into pieces. Because somehow he had bandages. And then out of his saddle bag, he took a bottle of wine and he poured that wine on all those wounds to kind of numb the pain, you know? And then out of that knapsack, he took some oil and he poured that oil in to just kind of clean those wounds and to soothe them one more time. And then he took those bandages that he'd ripped and he bound up that man's wounds. And then he bent down and he lifted that man up and he put that man on his donkey. And the Samaritan walked all the rest of the way down Death Road so that the broken man could be carried. He made a conscious choice to stop. And then when he took that man to the inn, he took out his purse and he gave the innkeeper the money that was in his purse and said, I want you to look after this man. Look after him. And I'm going to come back. In fact, I'm going to stay till morning and then I'm going to come back sometime later. And if there's any more money that I owe you, I will make it right. But please look after this man. Look after this man. So then Jesus asks this expert in the law, who do you think was the good neighbor? Now, I want you to understand, the expert of the law said, who is my neighbor? Jesus turns the whole thing around and he says, doesn't matter who your neighbor is, just be a good neighbor. Just be a good neighbor. So who was the good neighbor? And the expert in the law, I can imagine him very sheepishly kind of hanging his head going, well, the one who showed mercy. And Jesus says, yep, the one who showed mercy. Now go, Jesus says, and do likewise. Go and do likewise. Two sentences in that little paragraph that I love in Luke 10. Do this and you'll live, and go and do likewise. If you go and do likewise, you are guaranteed to live no more boring existing days. If you make a conscious choice to stop when you see somebody who is dying and gasping for breath, if you make a conscious choice to be willing to be interrupted and inconvenience. That man was on his way to Jericho. He obviously was going somewhere. He was on his donkey and he was going somewhere. But he stopped. And he thought, I don't care where I'm going. I don't care about my appointment. I care more about this man who is dying and he needs my help. So I don't mind if my whole day is messed up. I don't mind giving all of my wine and all of my oil. I don't mind lifting that mat. I don't mind getting dirty. I don't mind getting his blood all over my hands. I don't mind walking so he can be carried. I don't mind. I don't mind. Because Jesus says, do this and you will live. Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all of your heart. And if you're loving the Lord your God with all of your heart, there is no way you're going to walk by someone who's bleeding and dying. Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all of your soul and all of your strength and all of your mind, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. If you were the one in that heap on that dusty road, bleeding and dying, you would want someone to stop for you. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. When we begin as his body to wake up every morning going, how can we be interrupted today? How can you inconvenience me today? What do you want me to give out of my wallet today? What do you want me to give for you, Lord Jesus? Who do you want me to rescue? Because, wow, you sang it this morning. There's no other promise like the promise we have in him. But we know that promise. We know that we are clothed in his righteousness because of his death on the cross. We know that we can have a peace that really does pass all kind of human understanding, that will guard our heart and mind like a soldier guards a treasure. We know the hope that we have in him. We know that this is not all there is. We know that he has gone to prepare a place for us. We know that he knows our name, and we know his name. So if we wake up every morning going, who do we get to tell today? Who do we get to love on today? Who do we get to carry today? Oh, your days become so exciting. It's like a hokey toot kind of exciting. You can barely stand it. That's the way I want to live. I want to live. Oh, I don't just want to trudge my way to heaven and finally get there. Oh, good, you know, long and weary road. Finally, I see your face. I don't want that. I want to get to heaven and go, whoa, Jesus, was that ever a fun adventure? That was an incredible journey. You were with me every step of the way. And thank you for using me. And thank you for choosing to dwell in me. Thank you that your love baptizes me and your strength fills me and is made perfect in my weakness so that I can lift up the broken. Thank you for providing for me so that I can take my oil and I can take my wine and I can pour it on the wounds. Thank you for just being so lavish with me that I can take my purse and empty it. This is not all there is. We are going to stand before a God, our God, the mighty God who can move mountains, who by the breath of his nostrils, wow, we're going to stand before him and we're going to be accountable for if we stopped, or if we didn't. Jesus says, do this and you will live. Jesus says, go and do likewise. So, the church has been given a mandate. And that mandate is to be the hands and the feet and the heart of Jesus to the lost and the lonely and the broken and the forgotten. And they can be in a rich, fancy house or in a poor, broken down house. But our mandate is to be his hands and be his feet and be his heart. We are his ambassadors. He has chosen us to represent him. Yeah, we get to represent Jesus. Go figure. In all of our flaws, in all of our failures, he takes us as he finds us. And I'm convinced because when he looks at me, he doesn't see me like I am now. He sees me completely perfected, without a spot and without a wrinkle, standing before him, complete in him on that day of all days. He sees the finished product when he looks at his church. He does. He sees the finished product. And he says, we are his representatives. We are Him in this world. That's why we live. We were made to live for Him. We were made to make Jesus famous. Made to make Jesus famous. That is why we breathe. That's why you have a job. It's to make Jesus famous. That's why you become parents, to make Jesus famous. That's why you're grandparents, to make Jesus famous. From earth to glory, to make Jesus famous. So because of this mandate, we began to seek the Lord and ask Him, show us tangible ways to love You with all of our hearts and minds and souls and strength. And show us how to love our neighbor as ourselves. And so when you ask God stuff like that, He says, all right. And He put this idea into our hearts to have these days called We Are Christ Days. Now, We Are Christ Day is when the entire church, not specific denominations, there are no denominations in heaven. We are His church. We're His body. So He says, gather together in My name in one place on one day at one time and do tangible acts of kindness. Be My hands, be My feet, and be My heart. So these We Are Christ Days, He created them to be like a jump start, a little ignition thing. You know, like when you light the end of one of those things and it goes all the way to the dynamite and then it goes, okay? It's like a We Are Christ Days right at the end here, and He just like ignites it, and then it just, and then eventually, poo, okay? So We Are Christ Day is an igniter. It's a starter. And what it does, the body of Christ realizes that, hey, we were made to make Jesus famous. And hey, Jesus wants to use us. So it completely changes the body of Christ because they realize peeling potatoes is really cool if you're doing it for Jesus. Everybody has a job at a We Are Christ Day. Whether it's peeling potatoes or washing a car or organizing a spa or cleaning an oven, whatever, we are doing it to make Jesus famous. So the body of Christ, something happens, the Holy Spirit does it, and He just explodes inside their heart. And then they all realize that every day is a We Are Christ Day. It's not just the one day in that geographical area, but every single day of their life becomes a We Are Christ Day. A We Are Christ Day also changes the city that we go to. There's just like a different feel. I picture the whole body of Christ. This is how I picture it. Everybody in their armor. And they got their helmet of salvation on, and the belt of truth, and the breastplate of righteousness, and the sword of the Spirit in their hand, and the shield of faith, and the shoes of peace. And it's like we're walking into a town clothed and baptized and immersed in His love. We're like the most loving army ever. But when we walk in there as the army of God, darkness just dissipates. Because His light just goes, pow! And when we come together, Jesus says, they'll know you belong to Me by your love. Your pastor said it this morning, by your love and by your unity. So you come in there, unified, shoulder to shoulder, to make Jesus famous. Wow! So God has good ideas. And when God has an idea, God provides. Have you ever noticed that? If it's God's idea, He makes sure that it's being done. All we have to do really is show up. We're dead, really. We are crucified with Christ. Therefore, we no longer live. But Jesus is alive in us. So what's required from us is death. And then obedience. And Jesus rises up in us, and we are His hands, and we are His feet, and we are His heart. And His love is simply irresistible. It's just irresistible. So in the last year and a half, God has enabled us to have 11 of these We Are Christ Days. So we've gone into 11 different places. And it's just been, I describe it as front row seats to the miraculous. I just, honestly, it is the most exciting thing ever. It's just so exciting. I lived in Hong Kong for almost 20 years, really. It was almost 19 years. And I never anticipated coming back to Canada because I figured, ah, Canada, yeah. They all know about Jesus over there. I want to stay in Hong Kong with my Chinese brothers and sisters and my Muslim friends from Pakistan who God miraculously surrounded us with, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of them. And that was our life. So when Jesus told me to come back to Canada, I thought, what? No, why would I do that? But that's a whole other message. It took me a while, but I finally said yes, and I came back. And then when God put that idea on my heart, and the first We Are Christ Day I went to was in North Bay, and there was hundreds gathered from around the Muskoka area, and they all descended into North Bay. The church was full of volunteers, all kinds of hands and feet and heart for Jesus. And they had about 9 different events that day. My favorite was a spa. They bussed in 100 women from a women's crisis shelter. And they bussed them in, there was 100 of them, and they brought them to, it was the fellowship hall in one of the churches that was involved. And they had transformed like a hall like this into a spa. And it was really amazing. All kinds of followers of Christ were around the room in different sections, and some of them were doing shoulder massages, some were doing feet massages, and they had people cutting hair, they had people doing makeup, and I walked into that room, and the love of Jesus was tangible. Like, you could almost do this with his love. And as I walked through that room, you could hear audible sobs. These ladies were sobbing. And that, of course, made me cry. And as I'm walking through, I hear one of them say, "Oh, this must be what real love is." And off to the side, there's a room, and there's a sign on the door. It says, "If you want a word from heaven, go in there." Well, I thought that was really hokey. I thought, oh, like, who's going to go in there? Like, a word from heaven, ooh, you know, and they don't know all that terminology. And I thought, well, the team leader kind of missed the boat on that one. I'll have to kind of talk to her about that for next time. Until I got closer to the door. I get to the door, and there's glass, you know, on the door. There's like a little window. And I look through, and there's 4 ladies in there. And they're sitting on 4 chairs. And 4 followers of Jesus are sitting across from them. And these 4 ladies from the Crisis Women's Shelter are like heaving. They're crying so hard. They're like those kind of cries where you cry usually by yourself. And your mouth is wide open and, you know, your nose is running. They're like crying. And our followers of Jesus are praying for them. And giving them scriptures. You know, he's your peace. He's your fortress. He's your shelter. God loved you so much that he gave his one and only begotten son. And you know that they all came to know Christ sitting in that chair? And I had to repent. I was like, oh, Jesus, I'm so arrogant to think that you wouldn't use that. Who am I to think I'm so sorry? But I stood there in that very first We Are Christ Day and thought, oh, this is why I came across the pond. Well, if this is why I came across the pond, then it's okay with me. Because there is nothing more beautiful than to see his body rise up and do what they were created to do. There's just nothing more beautiful to me than the body of Christ truly being his hands and being his feet and being his heart to the lost and the lonely and the broken and the forgotten, which there are millions of in Canada, which I came to learn when I came back here, that there's people here in our own country that don't know who Jesus is. They have no idea what Jesus did. I was in a little place called Marathon. If you know where Marathon is, I give you a gold star. Because it's out in the middle of absolutely nowhere. It's about 16 hours from Burlington. So I don't know how long it would be from here, but there's like 1,000 people in that town, and it's a mining town. And we had a We Are Christ Day there, and when we decided to have the We Are Christ Day there, everybody had a job, but by the time we actually had the We Are Christ Day, the mine had shut down, and the entire town, 1,000 people, were unemployed. And the despair, you know, and hopelessness that just kind of hung over that place. Oh, you just felt it as soon as you drove in to Marathon. And at that We Are Christ Day, there was about 120 followers of Jesus that gathered together, which was remarkable for that area to be his hands, to be his representatives. And I was asked to go to a house and clean an oven and scrub a wall. And so I got my supplies together and I got to the house, and this single mom answered the door, and she had just gotten her kids back. Her kids had been taken from her from social services, and she hadn't had her kids for over a year because she had had trouble with alcohol and drugs, and the father of her children stabbed a man on the bus going to Kingston. So he was in the Kingston pen, and they're poor little kids. Their lives are just a wreck. But she had pulled herself together. She'd gone to some kind of a detox center, and she'd gotten herself off of all the substances that she'd grown dependent upon, and she got her kids back. And this was like just maybe a couple weeks later, and I'm standing at her door with a bucket and, you know, everything ready to easy off and scrub brush. And I said, "Hi, I'm here to wash your walls and clean your oven." She said, "Wow, yeah, thanks. I can't believe that people would come." They literally went door to door a couple weeks before their We Are Christ Day in Marathon, went door to door with a clipboard and said, "In 2 weeks, we're going to come back. And if there's anything you would like done in your house, absolutely anything at all, anything, just tell us." And people were like, "For real?" And they were like, "Yeah, anything." And so this lady said, "Well, I've never cleaned my oven. I don't know how to clean an oven. So if someone could clean my oven, because, you know, every time I use it, the smoke detector goes off and it's like really bad." So there I am in her house. And first I sprayed the Easy Off in her oven, and she was young. So I showed her. I said, "Hey, this is how you do it. You know, just cover your nose and spray." And then I said, "Just shut the oven door. And while that's doing, it's like really cool. While that's doing its little stuff," I said, "I'll start on the walls." Well, the walls were like from the floor up to about as high as a six-year-old could do, were just black and like big stripes of black crayon and pencil, and there was pictures and words sort of, and just scribbles, and the walls were just something. So I looked at the walls and thought, "Wow, okay, this is going to be a while." So I got out my cloth, and then I got out the magic eraser. Now, if you don't have magic erasers, I swear I could make a commercial for the magic eraser. I really could. I need to call Mr. Clean, because I cannot live without the magic eraser, okay? So I get out my trusty magic eraser, and I get out the wet cloth, and I'm like wetting down the walls, getting them all ready for the magic eraser. And the six-year-old little boy, Tyson, he comes up beside me. And he goes, "Hello, I'm Tyson." I said, "Hey, Tyson, I'm Sue. How are you doing?" He said, "I'm good." So I said, he says, "Can I help you?" I said, "Yeah, sure. Here, grab a cloth and just wet down the walls, okay?" So he's slopping the water all over the place, because now I know I have to do the floor when I'm done the walls, but he's slopping. And he says to me, "Sue, I go to the Holy Savior Public School." I said, "Wow. That is some school, the Holy Savior Public School. That's quite the name." He says, "Yep, I go to the Holy Savior Public School." We're washing the walls. After a few minutes, I feel Jesus, you know, talking to me. So I said, "Hey, Tyson, did you know that the Holy Savior has a name?" He says, "No. The Holy Savior has a name?" I said, "Yep." He goes, "Willow," which is his two-year-old sister, "The Holy Savior has a name." So we're scrubbing the walls. After a couple of minutes, I said, "Do you want to know the name? You want to know the Holy Savior's name?" "Yes, I want to know the Holy Savior's name." I said, "Okay. The Holy Savior's name is Jesus." Willow, the Holy Savior's name is Jesus. Scrubbing the walls. After a few minutes, I said, hey, Tyson, did you know that the Holy Savior Jesus did something just for you? He says, no. The Holy Savior Jesus did something just for me? I said, yep. You want to know what it is? He said, yes. I said, well, you see these walls? You see how black they are? He goes, yeah. He says, I know I'm supposed to use the paper, but I use the wall. I did that. I said, I know. I said, well, Tyson, you see, our hearts, your heart, my heart, everybody's heart, it looks just like those walls. And we also do it to ourselves. Because every time we do something bad, and we know it's bad, it's like we've taken a crayon and we've just done this to the walls of our heart. He goes, oh. I said, but the Holy Savior Jesus has a magic eraser. He says, Willow, the Holy Savior Jesus has a magic eraser. I said, now watch what happens when I use the magic eraser on these walls. And I just started to clean those walls. Well, they were like perfect. No black spots there at all, thank God. That's why I have to call Mr. Clean. He goes, wow. I said, you see that? I said, Jesus. Jesus is like the magic eraser. He looks at our hearts and they're so dirty and they're so blackened because of all the bad stuff we've done. But he just says, you know what? If you ask me, I'll just go whoosh and I'll make you clean. He says, Will. Jesus will make us clean. And I thought to myself, there is no place on earth I would rather be than right here, right now with Tyson, with my magic eraser. Because nothing compares. Nothing compares to being the one that gets to proclaim his name to someone for the first time. Nothing compares to be able to scrub that oven. And while I'm scrubbing that oven, to have that mom say, why are you guys doing this anyway? Like, what's this all about? Oh, well, you know, as I'm gasping for breath with my head in the oven, they really need to make something else other than easy off. That's another thing I can call somebody about. But I was able to say to her, well, hey, we're here as a bunch of followers of Jesus Christ. You know, just to let you know that he loves you. Like you're the only one on earth. That's all that was said. And that's all that I needed to say. Because we have a God who can move mountains. And we have a God who speaks and who continues the work that he's begun. So I don't need to pull out my Four Spiritual Laws book or my Wordless book or whatever else book. I don't need to do that. I just need to love my neighbor as I love myself. And when they ask me a question, all I need to do is open my mouth wide like Psalm says, and he will fill it with his words. And his words will not fizzle on the ground. His words will break through the hardest of hearts. His words will penetrate through that darkness, and his words will take root. And then maybe somebody else along the journey will come along a couple months later and they'll be watering it. And maybe somebody else will see that fruit just explode. But I know in heaven, when I'm standing before the throne, I'm going to look to my right and I'm going to look to my left. And I'm going to see every tribe and nation and people's ovens that I've scrubbed and Tyson and Willow. Yeah. I was in Leamington at their We Are Christ Day, and one of the, about, they did about 18 events in their town, and one of them was in a homeless shelter. That homeless shelter was two floors, and I forget, I think there was about 40 rooms, 40 beds, and it was just glorious, because like I said, I love the body of Christ. It just makes me sing, and I walked in, and literally every 6 feet, was a follower of Christ with a paintbrush, which I just think all of heaven's going, yes, when they see that. And Jesus is standing up going, yeah, who's he? They're doing what I made them to do. So the followers of Jesus are painting this homeless shelter, and there's another group putting in a new carpet down their stairs, and there's another group outside putting in a new cement ramp for wheelchairs, and there's another group downstairs fixing the water boiler or something. And as I walk in, the first person I see is this guy. He's about, I didn't know how old he was at the time, but he had a trench coat on, and this was like summer. It was June, and he had a trench coat on. No, I'm sorry, it was October, but it was hot. And he had a trench coat on, and it went all the way down to the ground. Like it was all frayed at the bottom because it rubbed on the sidewalk. And so his head was down, and he had tattoos everywhere and piercings. And the pain that this young man carried on his face was as obvious as the tattoos and the piercings. So I walked over to him, and I just said, hey, and he looked right down at the ground. And he went, hey. I said, so, you know, how old are you? 17. I said, wow. How long have you been hanging out here? 3 years. And I thought to myself, 3 years? What would happen to a young man, you know, 14, to end up in a homeless shelter for 3 years? What could possibly have happened to that boy to end up like this? Well, my heart was in pieces, and I just wanted to adopt the kid and bring him home, but that would have been very inappropriate, so my boys tell me. So I had to leave that place, and I got to my car, and I got with my team, and I said, we need to pray for that kid. We just have to pray for him. I don't know what to do. Let's pray. So we prayed for him. Then we went on to the other events that they were having in the town, and it was awesome. And we ended up at their free feast, because at the end of every We Are Christ Day, which they called Love Leamington Day, and you're calling Love Dunville Day, to the body of Christ, it's a We Are Christ Day. But to the rest of the town, they wouldn't know what on earth we were talking about. So that's why it's, you know, Love Dunville Day. And in Leamington, we ended up at their feast. And the feast is really something, because it's whoever wants to come can come. And all throughout the day, people invite people, you know, like I invited the Tyson and Willow and the mom, and they came to that feast. And it's advertised, it'll be advertised in Dunville throughout June and July and August. There's going to be a free feast for anybody who needs a dinner at the end of the day. And for the cook, that's really something, because they don't know how many are coming. And that's really a challenge for somebody that really loves the kitchen. We were at a meeting this past week, and the cook who's going to do your cooking for this, she said, okay, I've been a caterer for a long time, but this is the first time I've never known how many are coming to dinner. But that's part of the faith journey. And she's excited to see how many come and what God provides. So I'm at this feast in Leamington, and there's 550 that came to this feast. And the cook was having a complete, almost a meltdown in the kitchen. And she thought, I don't know if we have enough chicken, you know. But you know that there was so much leftover chicken. It just kept multiplying. They even took styrofoam boxes home with them. 550 people were taking leftovers. By the end of the night, the cook was like, this is the coolest thing I've ever done in my entire life. I just kept opening the oven, and there was more chicken, and there was more chicken. There's still chicken. I don't know what to do with the chicken. It's very cool. Anyway, I digress. So I'm in this feast, and come running up to me is the lady that was in charge of that homeless shelter event, Julie. And she comes running up to me, and she says, Sue, I have to talk to you. I have to tell you. I have to tell you what happened. I said, what happened? She says, well, did you happen to see a guy in there? He had a long trench coat on. I said, oh, yes. Yes, I saw him. He's been on my heart since we left. We prayed for him as a team. She says, well, this afternoon, evidently, he went from the one follower of Jesus to the next follower of Jesus. And he asked the same question. So, like, what are you doing here? And each follower of Jesus said, oh, we're just here to let you know that Jesus loves you, and he, like, you're the only one on earth. Okay. Went to the next one. So what are you doing here? Well, we're just here to tell you that Jesus loves you, and like you're the only one on earth. All right. went to the next one. So what are you doing here? Whoa, we're here to tell you that Jesus loves you like you're the only one on earth. He went to every single follower of Jesus on the first floor and the second floor. By the time he was done, he came down to the office. And for the first time in 3 years, he took off his trench coat. They had never seen him without his trench coat. And then, also for the first time in 3 years, he lifted his eyes and met their eyes and said, so these people from a church or what? And the manager said, well, they're from lots of churches, actually. Well, okay. Is there like a church you can call? Because I want to go there. You know, I found out later that night that when he was a little boy, from the time he was born, he was passed around from one man to the other man to the other man to the other man. He was severely abused in every kind of way. But I thought to myself driving home, wow, just because the body of Christ picked up paintbrushes. They picked up a paintbrush and they went into his territory. And they were the hands of Jesus. And they were the heart of Jesus. They listened like Jesus listens. And Jesus filled their mouth when that guy asked. And his heart was softened. It was melting. That's why we live. We live to make our Jesus famous. That's why we exist. We exist to represent him. And it's not just a cute little command. It is a command. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And I am not a Greek scholar, but I found out that that word love that's used in those two verses, love, doesn't mean just a friendly kind of affection. It means duty. Which blew me away. It means duty. We are his soldiers. We are the salt of the earth. We bring flavor. We're de-icers. Yeah. We are the light of the world. We are the light. We are the light. Jesus says that. You are the light of the world. And Jesus just delights to dwell in us and to shine through us. We sang it this morning, shine, Jesus, shine. Oh, shine, Jesus, shine through your body. Through your body, shine. So that the whole world will know. The whole world will know. They will feel. They will see. And they will melt. They'll just melt. They'll be so compelled to get to know this Jesus. If we start really acting like him, they're going to want him. They're going to want him. At one of the We Are Christ days, one of the things they did was they went to the Salvation Army. There was quite a Salvation Army corps in that city. And a group of the volunteers made enough chili and soup to last for a whole year for them to hand out to the homeless all throughout the winter, which I thought was a stellar idea. And on that day, they were also making homemade apple pies. And they were going to go in the freezer, and then every needy family in that town was going to get an apple pie with their Salvation Army Christmas hamper. So they made like about, I don't know, 250 apple pies. So they had this massive assembly line. So there's like ladies, you know, doing the flour, and there's ladies peeling the apples with those fancy peelers and coring the apples and slicing the apples and sprinkling the sugar. It was just like, wow, to watch them do it. It was really cool. And as I'm walking through there, marveling at their system that they worked out, this old lady, I think she's German. I'm not real good with accents, but I think she's German, unless it's Chinese. And she pulled me down to herself. Like she literally pulled me down. And she said, Susan! I said, yes. And she's like this close to my face. And she says, this is what we were made to do. She says, we were not made to be a dodo bird sitting on the pew. We were made to do this. I said, yes, you are right. And I thought, I want to embroider that on a cushion. We were not made to be dodo birds sitting on a pew, but we were made to be outside these walls. We were made to be outside these walls, being his hands and being his feet and being his heart to the lost and the lonely, the broken and the forgotten. It was so important to God that the first time he says those laws, those commands that he quoted so many times throughout the Gospels was in Deuteronomy. And he says this, these commands are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road. Talk about them when you lie down. Talk about them when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. So important to God that he wanted it literally in front of our face at all times. So I say to you this morning, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength, and with all of your mind, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. Do this, and you will live. You will live. Holy Spirit, I ask right now that you will do what only you can do. I ask, Holy Spirit, that you will reach into our hearts and you will squeeze our hearts. Squeeze our hearts. Convict us if we need to be convicted. Do whatever you need to do to get us to that place of obedience. I pray that we would just catch a glimpse of your face. That the reality of what you have promised is so true. I pray, O God, that we would make a conscious choice to first of all keep your commandments in front of our face and in our hearts at all times. And I pray that we would make a conscious choice to stop and to be inconvenienced and interrupted. I pray that we'd make a conscious choice to empty our purses and to empty our wine and to empty our oil and to do whatever it takes. I pray that we would make a conscious choice to walk so that the broken can be carried. Thank you, Jesus, for the opportunity, for the privilege, for the honor of representing you, and may we do it well. May we do it with excellence. In your name, Jesus, and for your honor, and for your glory, and truly for the extension of your kingdom. Amen. So be it. Amen.
Thanks. We're going to close in prayer here in a minute, but at the end of this, We're going to really try and do something in Dunville this year. I realize that we're not all from Dunville, that God's called us to a region. But I just really would ask that each one of you, we have some sign-up sheets out here at guest services, that you would sign up today to help with this. If you don't want to do it because it's not your town, do it because it's Jesus' town, that Jesus loves this town. I know one of the things about We Are Christ days are that the team that heads it up prays every year and asks God where they should go next. And God showed them Dunville this year. So I believe God wants to do something in Dunville. So just ask that each one of you, that out of this house, we'd have a really high percentage of people that will get involved and help. Is that in the bulletin?
Yeah,
in the bulletin. Okay, so there's I didn't look at the bulletin this morning. It gives you all the different areas you could sign up for inside the bulletin. You can see it. So go to guest services and sign up. Be part of it, because I really believe that God wants to use us, and I believe there's a lot of joy in when we serve and when we see people get touched and impacted by the gospel. So do that. If I could just have you all just open your hearts up to God for a minute. I just really want to give you an opportunity. If you've never received Jesus before in your heart, in your life, this morning we heard a lot about a God that loves you deeply, a God that cared so much that he sent his only son to die for you on the cross, that lived a perfect life and died a horrible death so that we could be free, so we could live that life that Sue was talking about, that abundant life, that over-the-top life, because we could be free from sin. We could have, like that Sue talked about, God cleanse our heart, take away the dirt, take away the sin, take away the shame. Today, he's just calling to you. He wants you to open up your heart to him and allow him into your heart to clean you and to cleanse you and to set you free. The Bible says that if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, that we would be saved. We'd start a whole new life, that God would really push the reset button on our life, that old things would pass away, all things would become new. So this morning, we're going to pray a prayer. If you pray it with your mouth, believe it with your heart, believe that God's going to do something great in you. You'll come into a new life with him. His Holy Spirit will come and dwell in you, and you'll be part of the family of God. Let's pray. Let's all pray this prayer together. Dear Jesus, I thank you that you died on the cross, that your blood was shed so that my sin could be paid for. And today, I just ask you to come into my heart. Take away my sin. Wash me. Today I repent. I'm going to live a life a new way. Come into my heart. From today and on, I want to serve you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time this morning, we just ask after the service, we're going to sing a song of worship now. You can go down, three doors down, there's a prayer room. If you could just go down there and talk to somebody, that'd be really awesome. Tell them. If you need prayer for anything this morning, if you're sick in your body, anything like that, again, as soon as we're done with worship, there'll be some people to pray for you down in the prayer room. Three doors down on your left, all right? So let's all stand. Let's worship the Lord. Don't forget, as we leave this room, stop and get